morning. We'll call the August 13th, 2013 County Council meeting to order. First thing will be approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. We can amend the agenda today under grant request, striking the first item, Diamond Swoop 14U softball team. We're awaiting more information from that entity, and we'll bring them back up at a future date.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Got it.
Second. Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We have the minutes of August the 6th. Any corrections, changes, or concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
I have no correspondence, Mr. President.
Anybody from council have correspondence?
Mrs. Things.
Deaver?
I want to make an announcement. I heard it's on the radio now. I have it in writing. The state is going to update the Ellendale water safety. This we're talking about, they're going to, that's environmental and public health officials, it's DENRIC, are updating Ellendale residents on work to ensure safe water supplies in the area. This has been an issue for years. The Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control and the Division of Public Health plan to hold a workshop Tuesday night at the Mount Zion AME Church in Ellendale. And if I have it correct, I believe that is this evening. Todd, did she say that? Did Kelly say that was this evening? It says Tuesday.
It is this evening. We're
yes,
trying to
okay,
confirm a time.
Right. The only thing I don't have is a time, but I can get that later. The workshop will provide residents with the most recent information concerning environmental investigations in the vicinity of the church, private well sampling associated with the justification for municipal water distribution, and cancer study results in the Ellendale area. Problems with drinking water in the area date to at least February 2009, when officials discovered that drinking water at the church was contaminated with MTBE, benzene, and dichloroethane, and that the levels were above the safe drinking water levels. I do plan to be there as soon as I find out what time. I apologize for that. And this letter is from JJID, and it's regarding work that they want to do for the county, and it has to do with work on the inland bays. It has to do with the pump station, town of Smyrna pump station bid, and other projects that we have asked for bids on. And for some, of course, this is not something that I want to get involved in. It's something that I think our engineer has to answer. But I wanted to let you know that I did get this from JJID from Bear, Delaware, and they're questioning their bid. They're questioning how it went here and what happened. So the last letter is from a Mr. Dennis Story of Oakwood Village. I don't know what was done on this. That's why I'm bringing it up. They're homeowners. They want assistance in a matter having to do with drainage in their community. And he doesn't leave his phone number, but he does mention that Jessica Watson from Sediment and Stormwater Program Manager had contacted them in the past, but they're looking for updated information, and I think we're going to have to look up his phone number, but I would like to make sure he gets an answer on that, okay?
Certainly.
Rob, thank you.
You can get that to whoever belongs to. Okay, thank you. Anything else from council? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. This morning we're joined by Mr. Chip West, who is going to make a presentation on the Delaware Division of Fish and Wildlife proposed regulations on coyotes. Mr. West, if you'd like to come forward, please.
He brought his dad. Huh?
Welcome, sir.
Is that his dad? Charlie?
It might be worth mentioning that we are also have the honor of Mr. West's father here today, the Honorable Charles West, former state representative.
Thank you.
From the
41st. Thank you. All right.
West, nice to see you.
Welcome. Good to have you.
If I'm late, there's a couple gentlemen in the back, Mr. Nathan Hudson, Mr. Pete Martin, who Nathan is a part of the local wildlife, I guess. He's a large landowner and runs a crop consulting business for ag and does a lot of conservation work. And Pete is the field ecologist for Delaware Wildlands, which manages about 20,000 acres in the state. So.
Ready? Just press this one.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank the council for giving me this time this morning to speak to you about the Coyote. I know some of you are probably wondering why Chip West is here and why he's talking about the Coyote. That's real simple. The Coyote has arrived in Delaware. I'm a sixth-generation farmer and landowner. I do a lot of conservation work at my own expense on my property, and I'm also a hunter. And I've had enough personal experience with the Coyote in different states and through some of my educational experiences to tell you that they will affect us all here in Delaware. That's why I'm here today. I thought if you'd allow me, I would like to just talk about the creature we're talking about a little bit, which is, I'm sure nobody has trouble hearing me even without a microphone, but we're talking about the eastern coyote, which is a lot different than the western coyote. One thing I want to make perfectly clear, and we don't take anything away from this today, regardless of what anybody tells you, regardless of what you read, we can never forget the fact that the coyote is a wild animal. I don't care if he's living in your backyard or living in the field, living in the big woods of Michigan, the coyote is a wild animal, and we have to treat him that way. Like I said, the coyote is the eastern coyote is a hybrid. It's larger than the western coyote. And how it got larger is some of its migration patterns down from out of the west up through the Great Lakes, up through Canada, and down through New England here. They also did another migration pattern, which was out of the west and up through the south. Which way our coyotes took to get here, I don't know. And it doesn't really matter. Some of the reasons they might be larger than their western counterparts is when they went up through the north, they have crossbred or hybridized with wolves and domestic dogs. Just a little bit, the coyote breeding season is from mid-January to mid-March. That doesn't usually change regardless of where you are. In about 60 to 63 days, they'll have a litter of, on the average, of 6 pups. It's been documented anywhere from 1 to as high as 19 pups, which means they're referred to as a spatial breeder. And that's just a fancy way of saying as long as there's plenty of food, they will have average or above average litters. Okay? Which leads me to my next point. The coyote is a very opportunistic omnivore. Omnivore is a fancy way of saying it'll eat anything. So when you start looking at the coyote being able to breed and the availability of food, they're there. I think it's fair to say at this point the coyote can make a living anywhere from an urban industrial park to a large tract of timber like Delaware Wildland Zones and the Great Cypress Swamp and in our backyards or everywhere else. So in our habitat here in Delaware, they will be what is known as an apex predator. They'll be the top of the food chain, which means they will affect everything. Okay? And I hit enter.
No, just hit the arrow button. Sorry.
There you go. So now we've got to that. Let's talk a little bit about their feeding habits. These are a couple of pictures. Their diet depends a lot on the food availability, and that depends on the time of the year and the habitat type. For what's most available in their particular habitat. For instance, in a rural habitat, agriculture habitat, big woods habitat, it very well may be fallen deer, moles, groundhogs, persimmon fruit, whatever mass is dropping. Here again, depending on the time of the year. In an urban or suburban habitat, mice, rats, bird seed, garbage in garbage cans, yes, and even our pets. So, And as the second bullet point says, these are some of the documented food sources, and I could have gone on and on and made about 3 slides that are documented food sources. And through all the studies that have been done, the amount of each one of these in the coyote scat will vary, again, depending on where the coyote is and what time of the year it is. Let's talk a little bit about habitat preference. Coyotes, through population modeling and food preference studies, we found out that a coyote seems to prefer agricultural/woodlot interface with suburban corridors. And they will survive well, like I said, even in urban situations, There's about a 10-year study going on right now in Cook County, Illinois, which is basically Chicago. They're doing fine. If everybody says, wonder, well, Chip, what is agriculture woodlot interface with suburban corridors? It's Sussex County, folks. It's Sussex County to a T. Okay? Coyotes have been shown to flourish in many habitat types, like I say, from the big woods of Michigan to the open grasslands of the prairie to downtown Chicago to Sussex County. Right now, there's coyote populations in all the 48 continental United States and Alaska. They haven't figured out how to catch a cruise ship or a plane to get to Hawaii yet, and I think that's my own opinion. That's the only reason they're not there. And the reason that I'm here today is to talk about one of the things I know as councilman is what are going to be the management implications for us here in, given all this that, and I've just touched briefly. Please understand, folks, I could talk for 30 days on a coyote, and I'm trying to keep it to 30 minutes. But the coyote can and will affect agriculture. How will it affect agriculture? That slide's for you, Mr. Phillips.
Thank you.
With the watermelon. There has been a lot of documented damage down south of coyotes destroying watermelon crops. There again, it comes back to food availability and the time of the year. They will predate on livestock. Sheep, lambs, chickens. We have a big poultry industry here. We have a lot of agriculture here, so there will be implications here. It will affect our hunting heritage here in Sussex County, and I think we're all proud of that. And our hunting does attract visitors here. And I'll get to that a little bit more in a minute. The other thing it will affect, especially in the suburban and urban areas, is our outdoor pets. Back to what I said, a coyote is very opportunistic. It very well may be in your backyard hunting for a mouse. But if it's hungry and comes upon your cat or dog, protein's protein. The other problem we seem to have is human interactions in a suburban environment. The cases of coyotes attacking humans are rare, but not that rare. From Massachusetts, you name it. The problem of it is you have a wild animal in close proximity to human beings. When they're in close proximity to human beings, they tend to lose their fear of man, which makes them more bold. There's a lot of avoidance behaviors that you can go into to try to sort of mitigate coyotes bothering you. But I won't get into this, but and here again, I'm going to say this again. The coyote is a wild animal. We can never forget that. So I told you I'd talk a little bit about the economic implications of that we will see at some point somewhere in this county for the coyote. And I'll just use probably what I consider the smallest of them all, but still happens to be near to my heart, is Delaware. The latest National Shooting Sports Foundation and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Survey calculates that hunting alone contributes $62 million to our economy here in the state. That's a drop in the bucket to tourism, agriculture, and all the rest. It's probably at the bottom of the food chain, if I might. However, it is still significant. Just to give you some idea, there's 17,800 deer hunters in Delaware. They contribute $15.8 million of that total. And we're all well aware that a large percentage of that is in Sussex County, so it would be real easy for us to take the next step and see how that would affect agriculture, tourism, and whatever. The reason I brought all this to your attention is this. About 2 years ago, some foresighted landowners and legislators saw all the problems in the surrounding states that people were having with coyotes. Coyotes have been documented here in each county, and they're not what I would call an everyday occurrence, but nobody's surprised to hear about them. We went to the state legislature and asked them to pass a bill to deal with the management of coyote. Long story short, politics got involved.
We ended up with the bill we have today, which is a bill that was enabling legislation that gave the Fish and Wildlife Department the authority to promulgate regulations for the control of the coyote. My group and some others worked with Fish and Wildlife. They gave us the original draft of the regulations. We were satisfied with them. However, for whatever reason, and I won't get into here, I think, in my personal opinion, and it's just my personal opinion, considering what's going on around us and the potential for the coyote to affect our lives, I'll try to be kind when I say that, to affect our lives, I think Fish and Wildlife is being really short-sighted. In Delaware right now, they are proposing a hunting season, if you'll look all the way at the bottom, I'm sorry, I don't have a pointer, of 11-1, which is November 1st, to the end of February. The trapping is from 12-1 to 3-10. And as you can see over in the comments, that deviates from the original proposed regulations, which call for year-round hunting.
Why?
Pardon me?
Why are they doing that? Why did they do that? What's their reason?
What are the reasons?
Cutting it back.
What are the reasons for cutting it back?
They did.
You might want to ask them. Some of the reasons I heard were this corresponded with a lot of other hunting seasons, so it would make it easy on enforcement. And there are some other groups that want the coyote protected, and so they were trying to, quote-unquote, using their words, not mine, appease them. I'm sorry, I'm blunt, man. I'm Charles West's son. You understand that, so.
I know. I wanted you to say.
That's why. I think. All we have to do is compare the surrounding states around us.
Right.
Pennsylvania, year-round trapping. Right. We talked to one of the Pennsylvania biologists. They're seeking other methods of control, and they're encouraging private hunts. And by that, I mean coyote tournaments to encourage people to harvest them. Maryland, their seasons are there. They said. We talked to the biologist, it's not in that comment, and I apologize. Their regulations don't seem to have any effect on stemming the coyote population. New Jersey, you can see the dates. Interestingly enough, in 2011, they instituted a special night hunting permit. Virginia probably has the best data on coyote populations of... Some of the places in that I've read, and trust me, I know more about coyotes than I really want to know. 100%. They have a year-round hunting season and a year-round trapping season. According to their population models right now and all their data that they can find, they are currently seeing a 29% increase in the coyote population annually with no close season. And Delaware's proposed this. So what I'm here today to say is, I believe in a lot of these landowners, a lot of hunters, a lot of other people believe that Delaware are putting the landowners and the citizens behind the eight ball by starting out this conservative. I guess what I would really appreciate, if I could, a letter or a resolution, if you guys see so fit in your wisdom, sent to the Secretary of DNREC asking him to reconsider their proposal. There is a public hearing on September 4th, of which I and a lot of other people will be testifying at. And I would be honored to read that into the record and also turn it in for written comments if you folks so see fit.
September 4th, where is it going to be?
The public hearing will be in the Richardson Robbins building, which is the DNREC building in Dover. Thanks for asking that. On September 4th at 7 p.m. Anyone can attend and can comment. Is there any questions?
Any questions of council? Mrs. Deaver?
Go ahead. Well, the one state that has open trapping and hunting has a 29% increase. Do you have figures for the others? I mean, it's almost like cats. No matter what you do, they keep, keep breeding, and we have more and more of them, feral cats. But I mean,
the good news about feral cats is the more coyotes have, the less feral cats you'll have.
Well, I've got some groundhogs.
However, they will. Coyotes aren't all bad, but yeah. They don't, unfortunately, they can't differentiate between a pet cat and a feral cat.
I know, and I have, yeah, and groundhogs, and
yep.
That I'd like to get rid of. But I was just wondering, that's not good, but it would be the best we could do, probably, even a steady increase of 29% if we were year-round, is what you're saying. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the problem is the other states, and I didn't put this on there,
started out conservative as well.
Yes.
You know, we're not seeing that many of them. There aren't that many. Okay. Let's just do this. And I have a dear friend from South Carolina. He was a career wildlife biologist, and he's still in the private wildlife management business. He told me a long time ago, matter of fact, the first coyote I ever saw in the East, he looked at me and he said, "Chip, when you start seeing coyotes or hearing about them, you've got way too many. Mm-hmm. You've had them for 5 years before you do, if you see my point."
Oh, yeah.
And here again, I don't want anybody to think that I'm here as a coyote hater. I tremendously respect the coyote. They're incredibly adaptable. They're incredibly opportunistic. They can live in an urban and suburban environment and remain almost unseen, which there again presents their problem. And I have nothing but respect for them, but I respect them so much in their ability as a predator and how they're going to affect all of our lives at some point that we need to get ahead of the curve. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Question to council?
Well, I think it's sort of like the deers. A few years ago, you couldn't shoot a deer. We had no deer, and all of a sudden, you see one deer, now we see 100. We see 50 of them.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point, Councilman Williams, and that's a very good example. 20 years ago, our friends down south that are now telling us you're going to have a problem with coyotes, and by that I mean my friends who happen to be biologists and landowners and all that, they were telling us, and my father as well, y'all need to shoot more does. We protected the white-tailed deer way too long in Delaware. We protected the resident Canada goose, and I think y'all have had some problems with them on an airport or two around here. I can remember when resident Canada geese were taken off parks in Newcastle County and brought down here and turned out in the country, and everybody thought, isn't that nice? We get to hear goose music in the morning and see a couple geese swimming on the pond. Unfortunately, they didn't stay too. They expanded. So that's a very good question and example. The way I foresee it, and a lot of other people are concerned about, it's going to follow the white-tailed deer and the resident goose. We're going to get behind the curve, and boom. The good news is the coyote is a predator on the resident Canada goose. However, the bad news is instead of having a 20% increase in resident Canada geese, you'll only have 2%, plus you got the coyote.
I can put up with the Canada goose.
Okay.
I can't.
That will be your choice.
I really don't have that many in my farm. And I really originally brought some, and I still have none. I like Kangies.
But you got them in Lewis.
But I got foxes. At one time, they regulated, you can't kill a fox on a certain hunting season. Now we got foxes running our yin-yang. And now we got groundhogs. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. Well, just one more predator, and if you don't take care of it early, we're going to have problems here. I can see what you're saying.
Thank you. Well, one of the things that Pete and Nathan and a lot of us has talked about, controlling the coyote is not going to be for everybody. It depends on the individual landowner's goals.
You wait till they kill somebody's cat.
Well, that's my point. But as far as from a landowner and a land manager, and I'm just going to use Councilman Wilson as an example, he may choose to have a coyote behind every tree on his property, and I'm fine with that if that's what he wants. However, it is incumbent upon the state to provide county governments, landowners, whatever, the tools, which will be, you know, hunting, trapping, whatever, and the toolbox, which is and a bigger toolbox as we can possibly get, which is as long of a time as we can possibly have to control coyotes if we so choose to. And that's the reason for my visit here today.
You have a written resolution of any type that we could consider?
No, sir, but I'd be glad to help you with one or whatever.
Mr. Moore, is considering a resolution today possible, or is this something that should be put on next week's agenda?
I'd like to look up a little bit of information, make sure it's absolutely what I think is right, and then maybe next week vote on it if we could do that.
I'm okay.
It sounds right to me, but I just want to double check. I don't know.
Okay. We will put it on next week's agenda, and we'll come for if we can. In the meantime, if either Mr. West or whoever can get
Chip
Guy or with Todd and a proposed resolution that we can have a look at, and we can certainly.
Here again, I'm just asking. We as landowners are just asking for the flexibility.
Right.
That's all we're asking for. We're not advocating eradicating the coyote, and I'm not here to smear the coyote.
You're not going to have to shoot them, is what you're saying, but you can. It's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not mandatory. This will just be something that was there. And if we go back, and look at that bottom line, there aren't a lot of tools, and that's not a very big toolbox compared to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And the guy with the state with the biggest toolbox, Virginia, just above the proposed in Delaware, year round, mm-hmm. and they're still 30% increase. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to see us get behind the eight ball again, mm-hmm. like we have with the white-tailed deer, the resident Canada goose, you pick it.
Mr. Hudson is here, Nathan Hudson, Hudson Consulting. I wonder if you've got anything that you might want to add, Nathan?
Come on up here, Nathan.
Good morning. My name is Nathan Hudson. I am a landowner in Sussex County, a fifth generation farmer, watermelon farmer, along with other crops. And I run a crop consulting business that also has a side business in wildlife management and conservation. First off, I don't think you can eradicate them. I've worked extensively in Delaware and Sussex County, and I've also worked for about 15 years in South Carolina in the Low Countries, which has a tremendous coyote problem. And I would like the opportunity to use whatever tool would be available for me to do what I feel is fit on my farm. If a groundhog runs out and I so choose to shoot the groundhog, I can do that. If a coyote were to run out and I so chose to shoot a coyote, I can do that. If coyotes take off like they did, and there's every indication that they will, it will absolutely change air hunting, air. I'll go back one step, air conservation environment in Sussex County. It will absolutely change it. And from my personal opinion, it will change it for the worse. And if we have the opportunity to do the best we can and choose not to do it, I think that's just a crime. I think that's a sin.
And I guess I'm hearing you both would agree an open season would be...
Open season, I like Virginia.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. What if it's a pack of wild dogs that look like coyotes? And they're far off, you can't really make out which they are. You don't have the right to shoot them, is that correct?
That is correct.
Even if they're threatening your crops and your animals. You still can't shoot them.
With very little education, you will have no problem identifying the eastern coyote.
Okay.
Right? It is easily identified.
That's one of the first things people are asked.
Hardest thing is going to be to see them. Because, again, I'll reiterate my first statement.
They come out at
night. I don't think you can eradicate them. You can't find them. That's the problem.
Right.
But to answer Joan's question, just before we get away from it, about protecting your animals. You had the right, I don't care if it's wild dogs or...
Yeah, I thought coyotes, you could still...
You had the right to shoot that animal.
That's what I thought you could.
Get rid of that animal. You can eradicate
if they're
that animal.
Threatening your...
Protecting your other...
Your animals.
Killing your animals.
Better hope it's not a bald eagle coming down.
Well, I've already been down that route. Well,
I'm just wondering, because that would be the first thing somebody says. Oh, they're going to shoot dogs.
You will not have a problem telling the difference between an eastern coyote and the neighbor's pet. That will not be an issue.
Okay.
Chip?
The thing that's important to remember is the coyote is not native here. I can find nothing historically where any naturalist or anything has ever wrote about seeing the coyote. Now, I do know, the red wolf and the black bear were native here.
They were.
They were, but not the coyote. No, ma'am. The other thing is important to remember is
like
they have a large potential to become invasive.
Like a fox.
They will affect our ecosystems from the smallest ground nesting creature up. And that's not good for any of us. There's a couple of quotes, if I might, and I know I've taken quite a bit of your time today. One of them is, there's a saying that a fox is a domestic dog with a bachelor's degree. Okay? The other part of that saying is a coyote is a domestic dog with a master's degree. That's how adaptive they are. One of the other things, is the guy's name is Joe Hamilton. He's from South Carolina. He's a wildlife biologist. As he told me, he said, Chip, The coyote will become part of your deer management team. Never let them become the captain of that team. And they have the potential to take over and become captain. So, and it's not just deer, anything we do here. I wish I could stand here and tell you if and when the coyote is going to do this. And they're being studied currently, and nobody can answer that question. And one of the premier wildlife researchers in the country, Dr. Carl Miller from the University of Georgia, that's what he always says. When you ask him, Carl, should I control coyotes? He'll say, if and when. Those are two questions you have to ask yourself. And it will be on a site-specific basis. It may be different on your farm than it is Nathan's. It may be different in my neighborhood than it would be Councilman Vincent's.
Well, how would you regulate that?
Pardon me? You won't. You can't regulate that. The property owner will have to be educated and make that decision for themselves.
Right.
That's my point.
Okay, I understand that.
That's the point we're trying to make.
Are coyotes the ones that howl at the moon, or is that the wolf?
You can definitely hear coyotes running in packs, especially when they're hunting.
Yeah.
Definitely. Hunting is they are an extremely successful predator.
And they do make that, they do bark.
They make a howling and a barking and a yipping sound.
You can definitely hear them, yes.
I mean, to me, it's bad. You've mentioned everything on here that could be affected, but one thing, and that's our real estate industry. I'm not sure that people are going to feel very comfortable listening to coyotes on their back porch.
We can all call for dog barking.
Coyotes can be vocal. Then again, there are some that are not. Let me put it to you this way. The coyote has, when you're defining coyote habitat, there's two things you can describe. There's their territory, and then there's their home range. Their territory tends to be smaller. Their home range tends to be bigger. Territory is more the alpha male, the bred female, or the mother nursing the cubs. That tends to be their territory. They are very defensive of it. They won't tolerate a whole lot in that.
And how big is that?
It depends. In an urban area, it may be less than a square mile. Here again, because of the availability of food. Most research says right now, in rural areas, it can be up to 1,000 square miles in rural areas. One little quick story. There's been some talk that Fish and Wildlife turned coyotes out to control deer. I don't believe that for one instant. I do not believe that. I don't believe that happened. And the question is, maybe somebody's thinking in here, so I'll answer it right quick. Well, how did coyotes get across the Chesapeake Bay? How did they get across the canal? How did they do this, that, and the other? Carl Miller, who, as I mentioned earlier, doing a lot of coyote research, had a radio telemetry and GPS collar on some coyotes, and they were tracking them. And Carl said the coyote in North Carolina came to the Roanoke River. It was up. They'd had a lot of rain. They tracked it GPS-wise. It just kept going to the river, back and forth, gradually moving down the river. Almost at dark, the coyote laid down in a thicket, stayed there till 2 a.m., got up and took I-95 north. As soon as the traffic died down on I-95, it went across the bridge with the 18-wheelers. So they don't have to swim. I've actually seen pictures of coyotes on city buses. They are very adaptable. So
are they here now?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you describe how many you think are here right now, where they are?
Even people that have coyotes for years, simply because of their elusiveness, we have no way of knowing.
Okay.
The 10-year study in Cook County, Illinois, just to give you an idea, they think they have somewhere between 5 and 10,000, and they're studying those coyotes daily for 10 years.
Okay, but we have them here right now.
Once you have, yes, ma'am. In Assawoman Wildlife, last November, wildlife area, there was one harvested by a deer hunter.
Okay.
They've been seen in Rehoboth.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a call from a gentleman today at Prime Hook. He's a former, not refuge manager, but he worked on the refuge and a lifelong resident. I don't think you'll mind if I mention his name, Otis Clifton. Said that he saw two coyotes last week up around Prime Hook Beach.
I'm okay with the resolution.
So
today. You want to
would
today?
You like to say anything or represent? Oh, excuse me. Mr. President, the Honorable Dave Wilson's here. He was the sponsor of the legislation.
The most honorable David Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, he must have a lot of coyotes over
and
there.
And, Mr. President, as he's coming up, I am aware of people having pictures of coyotes on game cameras in probably every of the councilmatic districts that are represented here. I know of some,
well, then we should
some
do
on camera within a half mile where Mr. Lawson grew up. They're throughout, because we have the game cameras that take pictures 24 hours a day now, so we're seeing many of the coyotes in those.
I think we should talk about resolution now. I'm fine with it.
Please, sir.
Thank you. Dave Wilson, 35th District State Rep, and as just already been noted, I was one of the sponsors on this bill and thought that we had something that was pretty doable that was going to work for the whole state of Delaware. And speaking with Dave Sebagus, and they were wanting to do it under regulations rather than code, I was agreeable to that as long as we got everybody's input. And then I thought everybody was agreeable. Chip West called me up and said that there were some issues with it, and I attended a seminar that Quality Deer Management had over at Delaware State Fair. I think Everett Moore was there that day when we were to that meeting, and listening to the comments, I've become concerned that this was a predator that we didn't need here in the state of Delaware, the first state, and Sussex County for sure. And just on Saturday this week, I had a call that one was seen over in the Felton area, Sandtown area. So they're here. I mean, I don't think it's a question of how many. I can't tell you. I've not seen one. Dave Wilson hadn't seen one. But if they're here and the way that population grows, I think it's time that we step to the plate and do what's right for, as Vance, Councilman Phillips has said, real estate and our tourism here. I don't think we need to be breeding coyotes. You know, a few years ago, the state stepped to the plate and gave the county back the canine, give you the dogs.
Thank you.
And now, I
give the coyotes now.
This might be your chance to stop from inheriting the coyotes. But my concern is that if we let this go with the coyotes, this could be the NASCAR of the canine industry in the state of Delaware. And the way they breed and the predators, I feel that it's just good common sense for, I didn't come to speak for the county council. I just respect all of you here. I know you're going to do the right thing. I think it's time that we send a message to the state of Delaware and to the Delaware wildlife that you have concerns as a councilman.
Yes.
You know, you're elected to represent the county. We're elected to represent the state. And I just feel that somebody has shortchanged us here somewhere through the comments, and everybody hadn't been kept apprised. And I just want to be of record that I just want you to know my position. I supported the bill because I thought it was a good bill, and I'm still behind it. And I would rather see it done under code than I had regulations. My problem with regulations is that they can be changed. And Secretary O'Mara, I don't have a problem. I think that he'll do what's right. But you may end up 5 years from now having a secretary from Hawaii that could care less about coyotes. And he says, I'm not going to issue a secretary order to control them. We're going to be back to square one, a population that you can't control. So that's my comments. Thank you for your time.
I have a question, Dave. Yes. If worse comes to worse and we couldn't convince them to change that, what if we just said for Sussex County, I mean, if nothing else, would that work, you think, help us at all?
I think it's too broad. I think that the way the area that they can cover, you know, I don't know that they know where the Missipillion River is. So when they get out of Sussex, they're going to be in Kent. When they get out of Kent.
Oh, the coyotes don't know what, okay.
Yeah, so I think that that if Sussex County takes the lead on it, we may be able to get Levy Court in Kent and Newcastle County, all of them to stick together and make a message to the whole state.
You want to do that first?
Sure. Okay.
Mr. President, if I could, in light of Ms. Deaver's interest in moving this forward, could I move that we pass the following very simple resolution? Sussex County Council hereby supports an open year-round season for the harvest of the eastern coyote. Deaver, you okay?
Oh, I'm fine with that.
You second that for me?
Sure. Yes, I will.
Okay. We have a motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion?
I guess just
Phillips.
A nod from Mr. West, that's about sums it up, doesn't it?
That about says it all, and I appreciate that. And if someone would like to come to the public hearing where it's Mr. Lawson, Mr. Moore, whoever, or any of you all are welcome to attend. If not, I'd be proud to read it in the record. So
great. Thank you.
And turn it in. And I thank you all for your time and your understanding.
We'll take the vote, Mr.
If you have any questions.
Mr. Deaver?
Yes, and I'm an animal lover and all that, but I also like to eat. And I don't want them on the farms, destroying farms. I don't want them destroying our farm animals. And I sure don't want them in my district.
Mr. Phillips?
I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes. I just hope the Safe Haven don't get hold of this because it might get into a no-kill situation.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for bringing it forward to us.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next item of business is the administrator's report. August 13th, 2013. One item, finance department update. During last week's council meeting, the finance department provided an overview of the county's new tax bill and announced our initiative to accept credit card payments, both online and in person. I can report that in the first week, 140,000 tax bills have been printed or processed electronically. Citizens should receive their bills in the mail this week if they haven't already. All tax bills are available online and can be paid directly using the county's website. In the first week, the county recorded more than $30,000 in credit card sales at the bill payment counter. $13,000 of the $30,000 was for services for which the county has never received credit card payments before. The remaining $17,000 was for property taxes. The ability to accept credit card payments at the counter has greatly increased the county's efficiency and flexibility, which allows us to better serve our customers. I'd like to thank our staff for their efforts in making this initiative such a success. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, I think it's great that they can pay, and you haven't heard any feedback or any pushback about it, have you, about the cost? I'm glad to hear that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Also, like to thank Mrs. Jennings. I think we may have got all. I got a copy of an email from some gentleman about real estate, and they couldn't locate with the new system. Couldn't locate properties a certain way or something, and I think they've already corrected that or taken
yes,
care of that. So
we have.
Thank you for handling that very quickly.
Is that the end of your report?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I went to that Route 1 Pedestrian Safety Committee. Is there some? May I say something, Mr. President, about a question that came up there, or is that?
Why don't we do it under additional business?
Okay,
on
fine.
The agenda, we'll do it that way.
Very
yeah,
good.
That's fine. Proposed zoning ordinances, Mr. Moore?
Yes, Mr. President. There's one, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for excavation of a borrow pit to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 7.2 acres more or less, tax map ID 1-34-11-207, District 4, on behalf of Melvin L. Joseph Construction Company, Inc.
I'll introduce it.
Mrs. Deaver introduces it. Additional business brought before council? We have one, okay. And then we'll let Mrs. Deaver, before we go to executive session. Mr. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I got a question. I don't expect no answer. Does anybody bother to read the minutes before you approve them?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What? Do they read them or not? Must not, because I found a big flaw the other day.
Mrs. Deaver, you have something?
Yes, at the Route 1 pedestrian safety meeting in Rehoboth Beach, Councilman Cole and I were appointed to it. DelDOT secretary was there, and he started talking about signs, and I thought he was talking about their sign laws and their signs, and the speaker turned around to me and said, that's the county issue. And I just want to make sure that, could we contact them or him and find out what is the problem? Is there a problem with our signs not being in, our regulations not being enforced? And I have a personal opinion. I'm wondering if we should look at where this area where 13 people were killed this year and see if that area should be regulated differently for signs than the other parts of the county. I'm just something that I'm looking for everything that might keep people alive. And they're still crossing the road, just crossed in front of me yesterday, not at a light or a crosswalk, just two men ran across. So, you know, I personally would tell you, maybe it's a woman driver, but when I'm looking for a store or something, I forget. It's not a safe place with all the signs. It is not safe.
Who brought up that? Was that Secretary Bott?
Secretary Bott. And I didn't, I thought he was talking about his signs, and he was complaining about our sign regulations. So I want to know what that is and find out if we can work with them about that. But again, I have my own idea too, and I'd like you to think about that.
Ask Mr. Lawson if you would contact Secretary's office and ask them to be more specific as to what they see as a concern.
I can do that. Sure.
I think really one of the reasons why we've got some more accidents, the Presbyterians got more right-of-ways. They think they can just walk on the highway and the traffic's going to stop.
Presbyterians?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
That's all the Methodists.
I'm not a Presbyterian.
We'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
So move.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We're now going to executive session for those two items.